Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. We just love that you choose one of them. We appreciate you making us part of your morning. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Here on a numbers game. How you doing, man?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm good. I asked you before the show, off the cuff, I'm like, hey, you going to that NBA Cup final tonight? And you said...
I'm going to the showdown. I've definitely been calling it the match for 4 straight days. I guess it's got a different name. The showdown. It's Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler versus Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau.
You fancy.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, going over there with Matt Brown, yeah.
That's a very exclusive crowd out there at Shadow.
Oh, Court. I have no idea how I'm going. Yes, I was totally planning on going to the NBA Cup, but I think this is more exclusive event and should be fun to do.
Bring a jacket.
Yeah, it's going to be cold.
Couldn't you go to both if you wanted to, make it a day?
I was thinking about it, but that'd be tight. I would be getting to the NBA game late for sure.
Whole show, we're just going to go through what Kelly's going to do today. That's all we're going to talk about. We do have a great show. Drew Dinsick joins us from not only the Deep Dive podcast, but also NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Not one podcast is enough to contain this man. He's got 2. He'll come on. Nick Bakay. Nick Bakay has been on this show many times. He's our big Hollywood connection guy. We love Nick. He is the co-creator, the showrunner, if you will, of Bookie, which has begun its season number 2 on Max, on HBO Max, and it stars Sebastian Maniscalco, so he will be here to talk about that and all the challenges that brings to the table. And for those of us of a certain age, and Kelly, you are not of this certain age, but well before they spoke about anything gambling-wise on ESPN, because it was verboten, right? They had to sort of like skirt around it, a la the way that Brent and Al have done it for years. Mm-hmm. Nick would come on ESPN, and he would have segments in the early aughts, I believe it was. People will remember the catchphrases, advantage push. So Nick Bakay with his gambling chops, he'll come on the show to talk with us. And Mike Sando, we've had Aaron Schatz on this year, as we do every year, you know, multiple times to talk about NFL awards. He's one of the 50 voters. Well, Mike Sando from The Athletic is another one of the 50 voters for NFL awards. So we'll pick his brain on what he's thinking about for all of them. MVP on down. So Sando will join us a little later on the show. We begin, of course, though, with the doubleheader, NFL doubleheader last night. May I just say this? If gambling did not exist, good God, what a horrible fan viewing experience the NFL was this entire weekend. And by the way, that even includes the 48-42 game, which was not that awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when we, like, that Sunday early window, we all thought was probably going to be pretty bad. And then when it plays out that way, too, it's like so brutal. Bad. I don't know about, so like, we didn't really talk about this yesterday. Is it better to have, like, you asked me, I love the idea of having 2 Monday Night Football games
love
on.
It.
But is it better or worse if they both kind of stink?
Yeah.
Which I don't know.
I also don't want to have this tape saved for July when I'm like, please give me the NFL.
Right, exactly.
Because I don't want to be ungrateful about it. Last night, Chicago, Minnesota, the first, if you will, the one that started a half hour earlier, Minnesota gets it done again. Minnesota 12-2. And again, control their own destiny, as do the Lions, by the way. They both meet the Vikings and the Lions in week 18, and that's why both of them control their own destiny. Both 12-2, 30-12, they beat the Chicago Bears. The only thing to say about this, because this was not a tour de force by the Vikings by any stretch, but if you just go through the Chicago possessions, it is just it's a comedy. It's just one of these things where it's like, if something can go wrong, it will. They were 4-2, were the Bears, at one point this season. They are now 4-10. They have lost 8 in a row. Their drives were all, this was the list of them. 4th-1 at their own 39. They decide to go for it. First drive of the game, swift stuff by Jonathan Greenard. 3-0. Next time they had the ball, they matriculated. The Bears did 3rd-9 at the Minnesota 29. Caleb sacked by Greenard, fumbles, Blake Cashman recovers. 10-0 punt for Chicago. At that point, it is Chicago gets the ball back. It's 4th-and-3 at the, it's 13-0 Minnesota at the half. Those are all the Chicago. Oh, Chicago had a 4th-and-1 at the Minnesota 29 late in the first half. Pardon me. Swift stuffed by Blake Cashman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 13-0 at the half Minnesota. They probably could have had a bigger lead, but 13-0, just Chicago just hanging around. The third quarter starts, Chicago punt. And then their second drive, down 13, 6-play, 58-yard drive. It only took 2 minutes and 21 seconds. Swift in from 1, 13-7 it's going to be, except for one little thing. You see, the offensive lineman, Doug Kramer, did not report as an eligible receiver. He lined up in the backfield as the fullback, if you will. He didn't report. Didn't even come close to reporting, by the way, when they showed the replay, the Zapruder, the Zapruder film footage of this.
Yeah, this wasn't the Lions from last year.
No. It's right where there was some question about that. Nah, he didn't report at all. So they get backed up 5 yards. Swift, by the way, gets 5 yards back on first down. But then after that, it's 2 incompleted passes. And just as, you know, if the Bears can't be good, they also can't have luck. There's a face mask that went uncalled on Caleb by Cashman. So they had to settle for a field goal, 13-3. Vikings made it 20-3, then 20-6. I mean, Chicago just completely took over the Minnesota 27. 6 plays in, 4th-and-10 at the Minnesota 16. This is late down by the score of 27-6. That's the only time they got in the end zone on a 4th-and-10 at the Minnesota 16. Caleb to Keenan Allen. Too many men on the field for Minnesota, so Chicago got the ball at the 1. They decided to go for 2. They couldn't get that either. So they lose 27-12. I just want to say this, though. If you started, as they lose 30-12 eventually because Minnesota added a field goal. But with the Bears, if I had asked you during the day yesterday, come up, Kelly, I want you to come up with a creative way that the Bears botch another game, you would not even have been able to imagine the non-reporting. Like, they just, it's just amazing.
It's wild, man. I mean, it's like the Cowboys block punt the other week. It's just things that don't happen. They just don't happen.
It's incredible. And so the Vikings, good for the Vikings, 30-12 win, now 12-2 in the standings, and again, control their own destiny. They do have a tough schedule down the rest of the, here's the thing. Vikings have the tougher schedule. Detroit ravaged by injuries.
Yeah.
And then there's Philly lurking also for that number one seed. By the way, Detroit's injuries after the show yesterday, David Montgomery ruled out for the season with a season-ending knee surgery. Elliot McNeil on defense, season-ending knee surgery. Khalil Dorsey, season-ending surgery Sunday night after breaking his leg. Carlton Davis has a jaw injury, so he'll be out at least in the short term.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be back at some point, but, you know, you add that to Hutchinson and Anzalone, and you're just like, oh, my God, Detroit, at this point, it just becomes a body count for them.
Yeah.
But Vikings finish at Seattle, home Green Bay at Detroit. So I would still say, in the Nick Mackay way, advantage Lions, despite the injuries.
Yeah, we'll have to see, man.
We'll see.
It really feels like it is building up. I think that Bills game might have been the final straw of just, man, this team, I don't know how, we talk about it all the time, especially, you know, NBA, NFL, who's the lone healthy good team left? And yeah. Lions injuries might have ended up racking up and playing themselves out of this.
Well, if it doesn't in the regular season, it sure looms for the postseason, that's for sure. The other game, last thing about this, Kevin O'Connell becomes the short shot to win now, the favorite to win Coach of the Year over Dan Campbell. I think that's appropriate. And didn't Cleve in the offseason, wasn't that his guy, Kevin O'Connell? Didn't he have him at like 29-1 or something?
I don't remember.
I think so.
Good old Cleve. I mean, it sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
The other game.
You got to give that, I was kind of thinking about while you were going through the recap, like, you got to give that Vikings team something. You know what I mean? Like, they're it's not like they have really but anybody else in any of the races. So, I don't know. I always feel like that's an easy way for the voters to recognize a team somehow.
In terms of expectations, it's him and Tomlin. In terms of exceeding expectations, right? Kevin O'Connell, I mean, what can you say? And it's with Darnold, right? Like, who thought this was possible? And the Vikings, long-term now, past this season, have a Sam Darnold problem. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You have J.J. McCarthy waiting, but if you end up 14-3, are you really moving on?
I know.
So there's that. The other game last night.
A good problem to have, right? It's a good problem.
Yeah. I guess it is, but it puts you in a very awkward little pickle. That's for
sure.
You
got to gamble, yeah.
Falcons-Raiders last night. Falcons win it 15-9. There's not much to say about this except for Cousins, 11 of 17 for 112. Speaking of quarterback problems, Atlanta still alive in the NFC South, a game behind the Buccaneers, but win the tiebreaker because they swept the Bucs. What do? Do you stick with your multi-million dollar quarterback who's struggling, Michael Penix in the shadows at this point? I just want to get to the end of this game because we do a segment on the Megapod called Dumbo of the Week, and it's usually about coaches. This week we have to have a separate category for players flipping the ball before they get through the goal, you know, through the plane of the goal line, and we have to have a coaches one. The end of this game, it's 15 to 3 Falcons, and the Raiders all of a sudden who have done pretty much nothing all day. Ritter's in now. Ritter's in for the Raiders in this game, and they come down the field and they score a touchdown, 15-9. Now they get the extra point blocked, which of course is significant to some, as they say, and it really is significant to some of the some because it depends where you got the number,
right?
If you got 5.5 versus 6.5, that mattered. If you got the 6.5, you were just absolutely loving, you know, you're loving that. But if you had the 5.5, good God, for the Raiders. But then Atlanta has the ball, 2 minutes left. The Raiders are out of timeouts. It's a 3rd and 6 with 2 minutes left. So what do? You run there, right? If you're the Falcons, because you want to milk 40 seconds off the clock. Not the Atlanta Falcons. Nope. Raheem Morris and the Falcons decide they're going to throw the football. Incomplete, of course. So it gives the Raiders 40 additional seconds to try to matriculate the ball down the field and win this game. And they ultimately get a shot at a Hail Mary. Not really a Hail Mary. Come from the 35-yard line. Ultimately, it's an interception. But just what complete malpractice by Morris and the Falcons coaching staff at the end of that game. Like, the stupidity of some of these teams is off the charts.
Well, Kirk Cousins has looked so sharp the past few weeks. Why wouldn't you do that, Gil? Come on.
Oh, it's just so bad. Anyway, Atlanta keeps hope alive. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, if you want to bet smarter, and I know you do, start with Smarter Insights. A VSiN Pro subscription delivers just that, the kind of actionable content that gives you the betting edge. Right now, you can check out articles like Greg Peterson's College Hoops Best Bets. They don't call them hoops for nothing. Adam Burke's preview of the Frisco Bowl. I haven't been on the Frisco Bowl. A little later, Kelly.
Ooh.
Zach Cohen's NBA Cup Championship preview. And later today, you can check out Tyler Shoemaker's NFL Best Bets for Week 16. Adam Schein with his Shine 9 column. Jonathan Davis, top NHL Best Bets. To get access to all the articles on VSiN.com right now, you can sign up for a holiday special for full access until May 1st for only $79. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's /subscribe. Did I say subscribe right there?
Yeah, sure.
Don't forget to subscribe. We get tweets at Biddy the Book. Always appreciated. Primetime, Cowboys _ Cubs 1. Yo. Hey, man. I love he gets the preamble out of the way.
Yo, and him. Hey, man.
Now that we have morphed from the summer of George to the winter of K. Michael Bin Laden, inquiring minds need a bet. Over under 3.5 brown liquor drinks today from Kelly. He says, give me a Charles Barkley marker max bet on over. Ask Gil about that if you don't get the reference.
Yeah, that's a strong lean to the over. Yeah. Strong lean.
Charles Barkley has a history here in town with the markers.
Yeah. Oh,
we'll
yeah.
just put it that way. James Sott. Will Nick Bakay be himself or Sabrina the Teenage Witch's cat, Salem? Either way, I'm excited. Nick Bakay, also the voice of Salem the cat on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. What was that? Was that CW or one of those stations? Was it CW or the WB?
I mean, it definitely ran on CW at some point. I don't know if that's where it started. WB.
Sam Ginsburg. Valvano went to NC State. I love when people tweet like stuff that has no correlation to anything we're talking about. He said Valvano went to NC State. His new barber told him he hoped he would do better than the last coach. Valvano said, "What are you talking about? Sloan won the NCAA championship." Barber says, "Yeah, but imagine what Dean Smith would have done with that team." He says the Vikings might be 12-2, but imagine if they had kept Cousins. Let's just say this. The Vikings history now, Case Keenum, fantastic season. Minneapolis Miracle or Minnesota Miracle, whatever we're calling it. Then the Kirk Cousins years and now the Sam Darnold year.
Yeah.
Bookended by greatness from Keenum and Darnold. Kelly always gets uncomfortable when I take a shot at Cousins.
I know, it's an incredible run. Like this is what we keep talking about with this Vikings team, though. We don't want to give them any credit ever over the past several years.
Awesome team. Awesome. And you know what? I raise my hand. I have not given them enough respect this year.
Brandon, you got that package. We should just show that to Sam. I think I got your package for Gil.
Yeah. Oh, Sam, is that you?
Thank you, Sam. If it's not your package, then yeah, we'll get it.
I didn't know that was from you. I was asking people to do the Lefty Rosenthal thing where they, Chrissy Andrews story where he was like, I love Mr. Rosenthal. He's so nice. He lets me start his car every morning. I was like asking people to open the package. Brandon Webb. Would a Commander Super Bowl be grounds for Gil getting drunk? That's the Super Bowl party I want to be at. Oh, I will totally have a different kind of experience. The numbers guys, question for Drew. Are you happy now, Drew Dinsick? You Lions-hating dirty dog. Just kidding. LOL, wish you could have just let us have our five-week moment in the sun. Drew Dinsick joins us once again. I love it when the guests get tweets from folks, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. People didn't love where you had them power ranked, and he's sort of asking in jest, although not quite in jest completely, are you happy now? Of course you're not happy, but maybe corroborates you a little.
No, this is all I wanted to see this have a much happier. I mean, it's still, I guess it's not over, but I mean, these injuries, absolutely brutal for the Lions.
Brutal.
Alan McNeil one, especially, like that guy was really emerging. And this is going to be tough for them to overcome. I believe in Dan Campbell kind of getting these guys up off the mat, but boy, oh boy, are they sort of the proverbial team that peaked too early, and it stinks. But you know, the NFC is wide open. The Detroit Lions went on the road at the Niners last year in the NFC Championship game and gave them an absolute war. I was against them that day aggressively, and I paid the price. And so I'm not, I think even losing home field, even if you lose, if you have to go via wild card, this is still a Lions team that has shown they can go on the road and get it done. that said, awful big point spread this week.
You want any part of it?
Yeah, it's probably going to be on the Bears. This is too big of a number. Like, as I look up and down in my numbers this week, and actually, yeah, before getting into that, I guess, just to close the loop for you guys, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, four seasons on ABC before migrating over to the WB.
I am so sorry. I apologize to Nick in advance.
the CW. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Sorry.
I did not know that off the top of my head. I looked it up. Okay. You were right about slim pickings this week across the NFL. These games are miserable. Thanks a lot to the league for doing this to us at a time of year where we all have a lot more time to consume football, not giving us much in the way of entertainment or good games. That Monday night mess last night is still kind of confounding. Why did we do that? Why those games? What, you know, what happened? Ultimately this is looking like a little bit of a busted week. All of my biggest edges are on absolute nonsense teams up against good teams. And I just can't quite get to the biggest numbers that are out there. That includes the Saints against the Packers. 13.5 to me is a little bit ridiculous. That includes the Giants against Atlanta. I don't think in any way the Patriots deserve getting 14. And certainly the Lions number, I think, is too big. I'm going to be on the Bears. Don't know about what the weather is going to look like in Chicago this week, one way or the other. But this Lions team all of a sudden having to go outside with the injuries they've sustained and, put up a win by margin seems like a tough ask right now.
Those injuries, again, just from this past week, David Montgomery out for the year, Ali McNeil out for the year, Khalil Dorsey out for the year, Carlton Davis with a jaw injury. He'll be back at some point. But that, of course, on top of Hutchinson, Anzalone, and et cetera, et cetera. By the way, you didn't mention the Browns is having an edge this week. That's who I landed on.
Yeah, I mean, I can't get to that number with the Browns, but at the same time, like this Browns defense has pretty much given up, and they are now ailing pretty significantly in the secondary. Bengals look like a team that is just trying to, set some milestones, some career milestones. It is going to be pretty hilarious to see both Burrow and Chase win their respective triple crowns in stat counting this year. And this team's going to be eliminated from the playoffs by like week 16. I'm blown away by how miserable that Cincinnati defense has been, and there's no reinforcements coming. So maybe Cleveland's live in this one, but it's probably going to be DTR, which I mean, at least when I look at this number, I assume that's DTR number. And I'm not there for that. I'm not joining the DTR party. I'll join the Rattler party in New Orleans. I'll join the Drake Mayessence in New England. I'll even give some consideration to whatever Tim Boyle was doing in New York.
But Tim Boyle was doing.
I'm not here for the DTR experience.
So this begs the question though, because this comes up at the ends of seasons. But not in baseball. Sometimes it's, you know, at the beginning of the season, because teams, the chasm between the haves and the have-nots is so wide there. But here we have a situation. Okay, so your whatever process you have, whether it's by model or non-model, you end up with edges on the poo-poo platter of teams, which you've just described, right? You're like, okay, these are the teams where I think I need to bet them. Okay, then remove the Drew Dinsick mechanical sports better hat and go to Drew Dinsick human being who sees, oh man, Drew Dinsick mechanical sports bettor's got these edges. Do I really want to live through all of this? So does the human being part of you override that to any degree and say, you know what? It may say that, but I have some humility in this as well. Maybe I don't know everything. I don't want to experience this. And I'm just going to either pare down my bets or not bet them entirely.
Oh, yeah, without question. And I think that's the right process that you're describing in totality, not just looking at your numbers and fire, fire, fire. Like, you absolutely have to have a kind of, in my opinion at least, a quantitative underpinning, which is to say you're coming up with a fair that's kind of a repeatable process that's kind of, you're taking your judgment out of it. And then once you have a set of fares, then you put a qualitative layer over it that is either your eye test, your, you know, some subjective decision making because of situational things. Last week, I could not have told you in a million years that a fair price for Ravens Giants was going to close 16. I would have said, you know, the numbers say Giants, but you look at that situation, you're like, no thanks. Ravens coming off of a bye against a Giants team that is clearly throwing up the white flag, maybe with a internal mandate to lose, like, no thanks. And so I think ultimately this is, this time of year, the qualitative part of it takes a huge step forward. I mean, week 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, if you're really kind of using qualitative angles to make your final decisions as opposed to just, a last kind of check the box, then, you know, I think you're overstating your confidence. But this time of year, with the moving parts and, you know, the just, you know, you have to make guesses. Like, I'll never forget the Chargers game against the Raiders last year. The Chargers literally quit to get their coach fired. And like, I was like, you know, that total was 36. Yeah. And it was this 90-point game, you know, and it's like, you know, you don't really know what a team is going to give you this time of year because they're trying to send a message or they're trying to fight hard. And so I think that's the right process.
Drew, Oklahoma City, Thunder, 4.5-point favorites, Milwaukee Bucks, NBA Cup final tonight. Do you have a play?
My fair is 6.5 there. So Thunder for me.
Thunder. No play on the total.
No.
Nothing on the total. Thunder for Drew in the Emirates NBA Cup Championship season number 2. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it, man.
Best of luck, guys.
College football play in your tweets next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Have you taken us in? We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Midland, everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than the producer. On set here at Circa Resort Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Still to come, Nick Bakay, the showrunner of Bookie on Max. Mike Sando, NFL awards voter, going to join us, one of the 50 coming up. And then a little NBA Cup thought or two from Kelly a little later on the show. By the way, you know who's also a voter for NFL awards? Our own Adam Schein.
Oh, really?
We should have him on.
We should.
Pick his brain.
Absolutely. I did not know Adam.
Oh, yeah. Nice. See what he's got going on. By the way, Chris Velika pointing out also via text, he's like, the point that I've made several times, he wants to throw the challenge flag on the MVP talk, because I've said this a few times about Josh Allen, which is, if you take MVP literally, right, how many games do the Bills win without him? And in the end, I've said this about the Ravens still figure out a way to win a few games without Lamar Jackson because they have Derrick Henry. But the Bills, oh my God, I don't know. So literally
fall
speaking,
off a cliff.
Regardless of what the numbers say, if you take the words on face, Josh Allen's your MVP. Yeah.
Yes. I didn't know exactly where you were going with that at first, but 100%.
Yeah.
He's a god out there. Are you kidding me? He's incredible.
He's incredible. Noted Buffalo Bills fan, by the way. Let's add this to our next guest's resume. Noted Buffalo Bills fans, but of course, for our purposes, a pioneer in the sports betting space in terms of being on a national network. And the co-creator, pardon me, the showrunner of the Max series Bookie on HBO Max, which is episode 1 of season 2 already out there for viewing. It's our good buddy Nick Bakai. How you doing, Nick?
I'm great. Hey, Gil, how are you, pal? I'm Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for figuring out the whole Skype thing, too. That was a big feat for us this morning.
I'm an old Luddite, so this is big.
I want to ask you a couple questions before we get to Bookie. One of which is what I just mentioned about ESPN back in the day. And earlier I was saying advantage push and advantage Lions when we're talking about something else. Does it in any way, and this is, you're a humble guy, but I'm just curious if in any way does it, I don't know if bother is the right word, but do you ever think about the fact that, hey, you know, I was the first guy who was really out there. And even though it wasn't literal, you were doing a segment that was basically a gambling segment on the worldwide leader for a few years, if I'm not mistaken. Does it bother you that gets lost in history by many?
That's one of the reasons I appreciate you, Gil. You're one of the few who remember that I'm OG. I'm Iggy Pop playing disgusting nightclubs. You know, and now I see, you know, Oscar winners doing ads for sports gambling apps. So, you know, I could be bitter, but fortunately I have a day job.
That's right.
I think it'd be a lot worse if that was what I relied on. And I never relied on ESPN for a living. I always was grateful to be there and thrilled they let me do what I did. I had a blast, but it was never my day job.
Yeah.
So thank God for that.
I noted that too with like the Brat Pack documentary, Andrew McCarthy going around how this affected his life so badly when they gave a bad connotation. And he goes to Demi Moore and Rob Lowe. He goes, "Does this hurt you guys?" And they're like, "What are you talking about? Our lives are great." Same kind of thing.
You can't be too diverse in this line of work. I learned that one the hard way. People always say, "Your career is so eclectic. You were, you know, a talking cat and a writer, and you did ESPN, and it's so fascinating." And I always like to say it wasn't fascinating. It was terror. It was the rent. It's always the rent, baby.
Terror. Okay. Along those lines, one of the other things you did, I was like, what questions haven't I asked Nick over the years when he's come on the show? Paul Blart Mall Cop, which to this day I have trouble getting out of my mouth. And it occurs to me that was probably by design. How do you come? You were, by the way, for those who don't know, co-wrote Paul Blart Mall Cop. There I go. How do you come up with that name?
It was me and Kevin James. We did that together. And, Blart, there's not a lot of art to it with Kevin and I. It was what made us laugh. And, you know, if you think about it, Blart rhymes with something else. And so we thought, lock it in. It was that simple.
Excellent process. Okay, Bookie, season 2 on HBO Max, or as they're calling it these days, just Max. Season 1 was an 8-episode arc starring the great Sebastian Maniscalco. And I'm curious, this is just a TV question. With network TV, they have Nielsen ratings. They can tell you, oh, this does well, this doesn't do well. What is HBO's gauge for whether to renew a show or not, which you obviously had the honor of getting renewed?
I was thrilled to get renewed because I've never had more fun. I'd never done a show that I felt reflected my voice more. So it's all good news. But I wish I could answer that one for you. In this new streaming reality, we don't have access to that kind of information generally. So I don't know. You know, I can log in on the Max app and see how we're kind of doing-ish. But it's very proprietary. It's you know what I liken it to? It's like now that I can log on to VSiN and look at the betting splits, I can get a sense, I think, of where the populace is on a game. And that's great information. I used to be able to get those pie charts and I never knew how reliable it was. But, you know, honestly, now that's become very protected information. I think that's the Netflix model and other people are drafting it. And you don't know where you stand like you used to. It's really a different world.
It really is a different world. Okay, for those who are unfamiliar with the show, give us the 30-second sort of plot elevator pitch for folks.
Well, you see that image right there. It is. It's Danny and Ray, two LA bookies where, believe it or not, in California, betting on sports is still not legal. So you've got these sort of outlier old school bookies plying the trade the old way in a complicated, interesting city. They're relatable in an interesting way because it's sort of like, you know, if you were a taxi driver and Uber came along or any of these lines of work where you can wake up one morning and there's an app that does what you used to do for a living. So these guys, you know, are doing their job. They're trying to also manage their families. And I've always been fascinated by that kind of job where on collection day, you knock on a front door, whether you're a plumber or a cop or a bookie, and you walk in that door and you don't know what's waiting for you on the other side. And it's Sebastian Maniscalco and Omar Dorsey, and they are a phenomenal team. It's been a blast.
You know, one of the things, and I'm sure you have, I'm telling you something that you don't know, but gamblers, sports bettors particularly, it can be an ornery crowd, and they, you know, game recognized game, as the kids say. They know when something is authentic. And so I do want to compliment you in the sense that the nuts and bolts of the betting, you guys really get right. And it occurs to me that that could have, for at least from perspective of a sports bettor, that could have torpedoed things very quickly. Is that all from your knowledge? Like, you just know, okay, well, you can't say that because that's obviously not a thing. We can say that because that is a thing. Or do you have consultants to help you with the sports betting sort of nuts and bolts?
It's both, Gil. You know, I mean, I am very, very fluent, so a lot of it flows. But we did consult with guys, and we had fascinating conversations. We talked, I mean, I won't lie. I had a guy, I might have a guy in my life who I consulted with, but we talked to guys all over the country and we got a lot of interesting intel. And one of my favorites was we talked to a bookie, a Jewish bookie in Alabama. So you got Jewish words coming out in that Southern patois. So he'd say things like, "We have this one guy. He was totally meshuggah," you know, and he had one of the best lines that we actually used in dialogue in season two. He said, "You know, we never like to clean a guy out fast. We always said we like to take him to the cleaners one shirt at a time." So, you know, we did a lot of legwork, which was not only great for the show, but it was a lot of fun.
Does Maniscalco himself, Sebastian Maniscalco, I would assume he'd be the main guy to have to really have his arms wrapped around the sports betting part of this, because he's an old school bookie, portraying an old school bookie on the show, high end. Is he knowledgeable in sports betting at all?
He is not a guy who bets sports. He's a sports fan, but he's not a bettor. So there are times when I have to kind of walk him through things like that. I would imagine it's like, you know, if you have George Clooney on ER, and he has to, you give him a speech about a subdural hematoma. You know, there's probably yes. Someone on set saying, "And it's this. You want to emphasize this word." Conversely, Omar Dorsey is extremely fluent. And the last time I saw him, when we started doing PR for season two, he told a hilarious story about how his guy, who he's had a long relationship with, refused to take his action on the Mike Tyson fight out of love. He just said, "I'm not going to do it. Don't do it." You know, so, it varies from cast member to cast member.
That's so interesting. Well, I got the occasional text from you. You're at some nighttime location in God knows where in Southern California shooting it. Yeah. It's not the most, you know, people see the finished product and they're like, "Oh, what a great business." It's not the most glamorous thing from day to day. Like, there's rough hours. Still awesome for you. You still love doing it. I would assume with this subject matter, you do.
Oh, this one's too much fun. And, you know, even that part of it, I love because, it's a really location heavy show, but that's one of the great things about our premise. You know, these guys take action all the way from a mansion in Malibu overlooking the ocean to the roughest, toughest parts of L.A. And I love this city. I've come to really find it intriguing. It's a huge, varied place. We go everywhere. It's great. We'll take anybody's action.
Nick Bakay, everybody, at Nick Bakay for real. That's the number four on Twitter. Bookie on Max, episode one of season two already out. Each episode premieres on Thursdays. Nick, love you. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Gil. Really appreciate it.
Nick Bakay, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Kelly's got some golf and NBA on the other side.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming up, top of the hour, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. Noon to 2 Eastern. Who Stormy got with her today? Jeff Schwartz, once again, 2 days in a row. Prop points, John Hansen, 2-3 right after that. Make It Rain with Adam Schein, also an NFL Awards voter. With Make It Rain, 3-4 p.m. Eastern, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, I'm reminded when I was talking about the Raiders and the Falcons earlier, I was talking about how Raheem Morris and the Falcons, like, what were they doing with the clock at the end when they threw that pass and it went incomplete and it gave the Raiders 40 extra seconds to try to matriculate the ball down the field and win that game. What I failed to mention, and I'm reminded by Mike Sando's latest tweet, was there was a previous sequence on that same drive, the very first three plays of that Falcons drive. It was going to be a three and out, but Robert Spillane of the Raiders batted the ball down, and on his way down, right, his arms are up to bat the ball down. On his way down, he kind of, you know, he makes contact with Cousins.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what arms do. They come down. And they flagged him for it. And Mike tweets, that hit on Cousins being a foul is bad for the game. I completely agree. Mike Sando, kind enough to join us on the fly here for another segment to talk NFL awards. Mike, I couldn't agree with you more about that. That was bad.
It's gone too far. It really is too far. This is still a physical game. I think the players want it to be physical. You can bump a guy, okay? And if you sometimes make a little bit of contact with his helmet, that's why he's wearing a helmet. You know, it's not a massive concussive elbow to the head or a knee to the head or something that, you know, is traumatic. I mean, that's just a football play.
Yeah.
Nothing. There was nothing to see there.
It was brutal. Brutal call. Okay. Back to the awards. And I teased going into the commercial. I teased saying, okay, so there's 50 awards voters. Of that group, you are one of the 50. Uh-huh. So 2% of the whole thing. There's no way for us to know what each of those 2%, if you will, how they're thinking. But for you, MVP, is that a quarterback award? And is offensive player of the year a de facto non-quarterback award? Or do you not view it that way? How do you view it?
I do not say that it has to be a quarterback. And look, as I've demonstrated talking, I love the numbers. I love the analytics of all this. But the V doesn't have to be so big to override this. I think I don't love having a quarterback win it when a quarterback doesn't have a good year by quarterback standards, right? And I wrestled with that last year. And I did vote for Lamar Jackson to win it. So I didn't think there was someone else. It wasn't like Tyreek Hill had 2,300 yards, right? But even if Tyreek Hill had 2,300 yards last year, the 12th best quarterback probably added more EPA value to his team, correct?
Yes.
Does that feel right to you?
No.
To pick the 12th best quarterback over a 2,300. Are we going too far when we're making the V be so literal, right? So literal. I like, if a running back rushed for 2,800 yards and a quarterback just had a decent year, would you be like, well, the quarterback's more valuable? That we're idiots if we're doing that, aren't we? To me. In general, there's going to be a quarterback who has a good, really great year every year and should win the MVP in general.
But, so,
you know, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and you're right. And I tend to view it your way. Others may not, who are voting. And so offensive player of the year right now, yeah, your lean might be to?
I usually a quarterback's going to get the MVP. And then I don't think I've usually doing that the next best quarterback for the offensive player. I think you have to acknowledge these super outstanding seasons, and that V word isn't in there on that offensive player of the year. So I do think it does break that way. And that makes sense to me once you decide that it's going to be a quarterback. Now, how could you let's just say this year you said Josh Allen was your MVP. How would you do Lamar Jackson as your offensive player of the year then? How does that work? Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah,
a little bit. A little bit.
Like, wait a minute. He's offensive player of the year. He's the same position of this other guy. So it's this kind of weirdly unexplainable. Like, I don't know. I think this is a riddle. Like, how could you really explain who you vote for offensive player of the year most of these years? But we all sort of know it's the non-quarterback MVP, right?
So it feels like Saquon to me, in other words. It sounds like that. That's where you're headed.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, what I a couple of weeks ago, looked at the last six running backs to win the MVP, okay? And so it's Marshall Faulk and Sean Alexander, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson, it's a short list of guys. And what I found out is they basically have to have about three MVP years to get it. These guys all had like an amazing run of years, Barry Sanders too, to where like they were like the best player on offense probably for like three straight years. And then they just get the MVP because it finally broke through. It was so overwhelming. And so I was kind of thinking that with Saquon, like if Saquon does what he's doing this year for the next 2 years, like I would bet his MVP odds would go way up. It's just based on the history of how those guys just kind of have broken through.
Makes sense.
Now, Adrian Peterson was a little different. He had about a 5-year run, then the amazing recovery from the injury with a 2,000 yard season, right? So there's these boxes to check, like going over 2,000 yards. You have to make it super special in some way for those guys to get it.
I'm still tripping over Sean Alexander having won the MVP. I remember that. Wow.
Those guys were setting the record for touchdowns in a year, 25. The next year's 28. It's 31. They were really scoring a lot.
Coach of the year, which is almost impossible to answer right now. What are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do think it's Dan Campbell and Kevin O'Connell. I think they're sort of inverse candidates in that O'Connell has done it after losing the most important position, right? And Campbell's done it after losing everybody else, right? He didn't lose his quarterback, but my gosh, they've lost about 10 guys or 9 or 10 guys on defense that were supposed to really help them, and now they lose their running back. So, you know, maybe that's going to come down to who wins that game at the end and who wins that division. Is that fair? I'm just thinking off the top of my head. It's got to be those two guys would be the leaders, right?
They are, in fact, in the betting market. They are, with Kevin O'Connell just having taken over the top spot.
Okay, and so, you know, but if Campbell wins out and they beat the Vikings in the last game, I mean, I think that's hard to deny Dan Campbell then, right? I think that's one that actually will come down to a recency bias that's probably actually the right bias.
What if Andy Reid goes 16-1 without Mahomes?
Well, yeah, it's funny. Andy Reid coaching. So I did a column. I've done this research too. Like, what does it take for the great coach to win coach of the year? Cause like Bill Belichick had, if you look at Bill Belichick's right. coaches of the year, he had to average like 15 wins or 14, 15 wins to do it. Andy Reid wins by 2 touchdowns last week and people are pissed off at his play calling. You know, that's a fact. You go on yeah. Twitter, like this guy's kill. This is malpractice. He's not running the ball enough. And they win every week.
Last question, Mike, because I got to run and I really appreciate it. Can Jaden Daniels do anything at this point to not be the offensive rookie of the year, in your opinion?
That's interesting. I guess play really horribly, right? I mean, if he had 3-5 interception games to finish the year, like that would probably do it, right?
That would probably do it.
So I think it would take a real downturn.
All right, Mike, we could talk about this for hours because there's other awards to get to, but those are the main ones I wanted to get your thoughts on. Really appreciate it. At SandoNFL on Twitter, Mike writes for The Athletic. Always great to see you, man. Always thoughtful.
It's fun. You always get my mind going. This is great. I'm primed for the day, so thanks. Have a good one.
I love it. Priming him for the day. That's what we set out to do. Mike Sando, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, which brings us to our GBank Best Bets of the Day, Kelly. GBank, the official bank of VSIN. Once again, I have the Browns plus the 7 against the Bengals. That was a guessing lines thing yesterday. And the Washington Taco Holders plus 3.5 versus the Eagles. I find that line disrespectful by a hook. That was a line, by the way, in the first episode of season 2 of Bookie. They're like, they didn't give me the hook.
I have removed Eagles from my consideration this week with the AJ Brown, Saquon Barkley kind of injuries too. I have to see how this week plays out practice.
I did add the Memphis Tigers in college football in the the historically steeped in lore Frisco Bowl, Memphis by 4.5 over West Virginia tonight. A little college football.
Where do they play that? Texas?
Texas. Frisco, Texas.
Okay.
That's why they call it the Frisco Bowl, Kelly.
Giannis for me, over points.
Okay.
Where is Frisco? Texas?
NBA.
That's by Dallas, right?
Don't hold me.
Gotta look at the math. That's kind of what I was getting to. Yeah. All right, Giannis over 30.5 points for me in the NBA Cup finale tonight. Go Bucks. I've got them plus 500 to win this, so I'll be rooting on a future. And then Browns for me as well from NFL yesterday. And Dinzik with just one play for us. He's on the Thunder laying 4.5 against the Bucks, which if you're just looking at the game tonight, I probably do lean that way.
Frisco, half hour outside of Dallas.
Okay.
There you go. All right. G-Bank, best bets of the day, always brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. And once again, if you're serious about sports betting, you need the G-Bank Visa signature card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. Even when you put your money on the card, G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're typically saving up to 3% to 5% on cash advance fees right there, right now. For a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject credit approval, terms and conditions apply. We've done all we can do. Stormy is next with Money Moves right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.